Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 6, please? Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read from verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have. Which hope we have. As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner, Christ, is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now I've read all those verses for the sake of that phrase which I repeated, which hope we have. And I've been thinking this morning of some of the things that you and I have. Recently, it was reported in the paper that there were, I think it was 20,000 millionaires in Australia. 20,000 millionaires. Fancy that. And I don't suppose anybody here this morning are included in that 20,000. 20,000 millionaires. Robert Holmes of Court, Alan Bond, Michael Edgley, and so on. All millionaires. But you know, if they haven't got the things that the Christians got, if they haven't got Christ, if they haven't got faith in Christ, they're the poorest of the poor. They won't be able to take their millions with them, will they? They'll have to leave them all behind. And one of the things that a Christian has that these millionaires perhaps haven't got is Christ. We have Christ. To as many as received him, John says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And so one of the things, and the most important thing, and the most glorious thing that the Christian has, that the non-Christian hasn't got, is Christ. We have Christ. And if we've got Christ, we've got all that there is to have. We're the richest of the rich, the poorest of the poor in the land today. If he has Christ, he has riches untold. He has everything. I've told you the story before, I guess, of that poor widow in a London garret in London, dying on a filthy bed in a dark room on the top floor of one of the London slums. The minister came to visit her, and as he climbed up the stairs and got closer to her room, he could smell an awful smell. And when he opened the door, the stench of that room hit him, and he was about to turn away and go back. But peering through the gloom and the darkness of that room, he saw this poor woman lying, dying, on a bed in the corner. And going over to her, he was saying to himself in a loud whisper, "Poor soul, poor soul, poor soul." And when he got to the side of the bed, the woman looked up into his face and she said, "Don't you call me poor, sir. Don't call me poor, sir. I have Christ. What want I more? I have Christ. What want I more?" And having Christ, she was richer by far than the 20,000 millionaires in Australia if they haven't got Christ. I have Christ. What want I more? And beloved, we ought to be rejoicing this morning in this glorious fact that we have Christ, that I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. We have Christ. I wonder if we can sincerely say, what want I more? What want I more? He's the richest person in the universe. The cattle upon a thousand hills are his. The wealth in every mine. And everything that is ours. Everything that is ours. That poor woman was an heir of God. She was a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was rich. Rich. She had Christ. What wanted she more? We sang about peace this morning. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious blessing that is. We have peace with God. You know, we often read about people that have been in an accident, and somebody goes along and gives them the last rites and makes their peace with God. But we have peace. It's something that we don't have to make. Christ made it through the blood of his cross on Calvary. And the psalmist said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Beloved, we have peace. Peace with God. Peace with our fellow man. Peace with one another. We have peace. And the wonderful thing about it is that Christ is our peace. The wicked, you know, are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, his waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, but to the Christian, to the child of God, he has peace. And that poor, lonely, dying woman, she not only had Christ, but she had Christ's peace in her heart. And she was passing out of this life into the next, going to heaven, filled with the peace and the rest that Christ alone can give. We were singing about life. Peace, life, life. Yes, we have life. He that hath the Son, the Bible says, has life. Do you believe that? Is there somebody here this morning that hasn't got it? That hasn't got life? He that has the Son has life. There's no doubt about it. We've got eternal life because we believe in the Son, and because we have Christ in our hearts, we have life. And if you haven't got this life this morning, if you're still dead in trespasses and in sins, you can have it now as a free gift from God, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we have life. Once we were dead in sins. Once we were afar away from God with not a spark of life in us. But this morning, through faith in Christ, we have life. We have life. And nobody can take it from us. It's ours. And we'll enjoy it throughout the countless ages of eternity. And then Paul says in Ephesians that we have the redemption. We have redemption through his blood. We have it. We know that we've been redeemed, set free from the thraldom of sin and of Satan. We know that we've changed masters. We know that our Redeemer liveth. We know that we've been redeemed by precious blood. And this morning, we have redemption. How's that? How's that? It's no wonder this woman was rich, is it? She knew the redeeming power of God. She'd been redeemed from the penalty and the guilt of her sins long ago. She had been redeemed as she lived her life on earth from the very power of sin. And very soon she was to be redeemed from the very presence of sin. And beloved, that's our redemption. We've known redemption, Lord. We've known it. And we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that's another thing we have. We have redemption, and we have the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. All those past sins, they've all been forgiven. All the present ones, those that we've committed since this meeting started this morning. Those sins that we ever shall commit until the Lord come. They've all been forgiven. They're all covered by the precious blood of Christ. You know, the secret of a Christian's happiness is found in Psalm 32. Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And there's no more happier man or woman in the world today than the man or woman who knows his or her sins forgiven, all washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we have this. It's our present possession. With all these other blessings, we have the forgiveness of sins. We know where our sins are, don't we? Oh yes, you say they're on my conscience. Well, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. They're down in the depths of the bottomless sea. They're cast behind God's back, never to be remembered against you no more forever. You know, we forgive people easily sometimes, but the trouble with you and I is that we never seem to forget. We never seem to forget, do we? No, we don't. Forgiven, yes, but never forgotten. That the Lord Jesus, he not only forgives, but he forgets. He forgets. And he covers our sin with his own precious blood. And this morning you and I can say that we have, there's no doubt about it, we have, through faith in Christ, the forgiveness of sins. Well, now I don't know how much longer I could go on about the things that the Christian has, but I read another one of them in Hebrews chapter 6. You noted that, didn't you? Or did you? Which hope we have. Which hope we have. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 6. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. There was a time, of course, when Leo Marlin had no hope. He was absolutely hopeless. I suppose he still is in some respects. But you know, so far as eternal life goes, as far as God's salvation goes, he was in a hopeless state. He was living without hope. He had nothing to look forward to, nothing but the blackness of darkness forever. But since he came to the Saviour, it's all changed. Everything's different. He has a hope. He has a hope. It's his. It's something that he's got to enjoy. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And this hope, of course, is Christ. Christ is our hope. It's called a living hope. It's called a blessed hope. And this morning, we've been reminded again and again that we've kept this feast once more only till he come. And with this hope in view of one day not only seeing the Lord by faith, but in seeing him face to face, we leave this place today with this hope within our hearts, within our breasts, knowing that we have a hope, that we sorrow not even as the others which have no hope. And Christ is our hope, and we're waiting and we're watching patiently for him to take us all home to glory. So these are some of the things that I was thinking about this morning. These things that we have. Sure possessions. Nobody can take them away from us. They're ours. Because we've trusted the Saviour. We have peace. We have life. We have joy. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood. We have hope. And if you haven't got these things, and you know whether you've got them or not, if you haven't got these things, you might be rich. You might be rich in this world's goods, but if you haven't got these things, you're the poorest of the poor. You're the poorest people in Eastwood tonight, if you haven't got these things. And if you have got them, you're the richest person in Eastwood. If these things are yours, if you possess them right now.